Support for Utah News at 5:30 on Utah Public Radio is made possible by our listeners and by the Herald Journal of Logan, offering news, sports, opinion, and weather. Information at hjnews.com. The Herald Journal, empowering the community.
Three Utah areas are among the fastest growing in the nation. A new suicide prevention bill is signed into law, and a new study reveals the political candidate whose priorities are most in line with Utah voters.
Today is Thursday, April 5th, and it's All Things Considered. I'm Mackenzie Hamilton.
And I'm Tom Williams. This is your 5:30 Utah News.
New U.S. Census Bureau information shows the Provo Orem, Heber City, and St. George areas are among the fastest growing places in the nation. Population estimates released today by the Census Bureau show Provo Orem was the nation's seventh fastest growing metropolitan area, with 2.7% growth between 2010 and 2011. St. George was also ranked 11th with 2.6% growth. Greater Heber City grew 3.8%, making it the seventh fastest growing among micropolitan areas, which include places with 10,000 to 50,000 residents. Previously released data show Utah was the second fastest growing state in the nation, and that's just behind Texas. State demographer Juliette Tenert says Utah's high fertility rate and relatively economic strength after the recession contributed to that growth. Also, population dropped in rural Beaver, Carbon, Emery, Garfield, Paiute, and Wayne counties.
State lawmakers failed to pass statewide legislation requiring businesses to use the E-Verify system when hiring. Now some municipalities are considering their own requirements. Chris Holmes reports from Southern Utah.
Officials in St. George are considering an ordinance that requires businesses to use the E-Verify system to assure that new hires have the legal right to work in the U.S. Although details are yet to be articulated, compliance would be required in order to obtain a business license in the city. City fathers want a system that focuses more on rewarding compliance than punishing non-compliance, perhaps in the form of lower fees or other recognition. Washington County has had a similar ordinance in place for over a year now. That law threatens to strip a business of its license for continued noncompliance. Chris Holmes, UPR News, Cedar City.
A couple who says they've been traumatized and unable to sell their home after a nearby oil refinery explosion in 2009 have been rewarded more than $300,000. A jury voted 6-2 yesterday to grant Brian and Christy Horn $302,000 for non-economic damages and depreciation of their home following the November 4, 2009 explosion at the Silver Eagle refinery. Brian Horn says he's glad the ordeal is over and he can start moving forward with his life. Refinery attorney Roger Bullock says his staff and company officials are considering whether to appeal the civil suit ruling. Nobody was injured, but 10 homes were severely damaged in the blast. The Horns haven't moved back into their home and say the stigma of the explosion makes it hard to sell.
Utah teachers will soon have a new type of training, one aimed at saving their students' lives. House Bill 501 requires all teachers in the state to receive 2 hours of youth suicide prevention training. Utah Attorney General Mark Shurtleff says he wanted to get this in place before retiring from his post at the end of this year, motivated by the story of Clark Flatt and by his own daughter.
About 8-9 years ago, I was at Attorney General Conference, he told about coming home and finding his 16-year-old son dead. I realized that my own daughter was in crisis. She talked about wanting to hurt herself, and I kind of blew it off. He told all of us that they never take a child's statement of wanting to hurt themselves lightly. I got up and left the conference, went home, and started talking to her. And because we were talking, when she attempted suicide, I was there and able to save her life.
Since the suicide of his son in 1997, Flatt has made it his mission to get teachers trained in suicide prevention. He attended a ceremonial signing of House Bill 501 with Governor Gary Herbert at the state capitol yesterday.
We started the Jason Foundation to start providing education, not scaring people, not alarming people. And today, regrettably, it's the third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. So, our job is to help educate.
Utah is the eighth state to sign such a bill into law.
And a 38-year-old Park City man is dead after trying to make a 50-foot dirt bike jump in North Salt Lake. The Davis County Sheriff's Office say Chris Minisi was killed in the crash about 11 a.m. this morning at the Jordan River Off-Highway Vehicle Park. Witnesses say Minisi was trying to make the jump when he landed with the bike on top of him. He had massive head injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. Officials say he was wearing full-body protective gear, including full facial helmet. Sheriff's officials say the previously misidentified the man as a 35-year-old from the Salt Lake City area.
Vernal area residents are upset about a proposed phosphate mine that would be located near Ashley Springs, which is the primary source of drinking water for the area. Vernal Express assistant editor and UPR reporter Renee Bangeter has the story.
More than 200 people from Dry Fork, Mazer, and Vernal crowded into Western Park Tuesday for a meeting about a proposed phosphate mine at Ashley Springs. None of the residents were in favor of the mine, many citing the danger to the water supply as a concern. The Utah Phosphate Company and Agrium U.S. Incorporated plan to use 3,500 acres of the slopes south of Taylor Mountain for the mine. The mine would straddle Ashley Creek just below Ashley Springs. Vernal City is formally opposing the mine. City Manager Ken Bassett said at Wednesday's City Council meeting that 80% of the city's water comes from Ashley Springs. UPC Director Chris Wild said it could be several years before the company makes a decision. In the short term, the company plans to drill 10 to 15 test holes on leased property purchased from Ashley Creek Properties. Reporting in Vernal, Renee Bangeter, Utah Public Radio News.
Police say a man who shot a warning round inside a Provo tanning salon before demanding cash from two female employees may be connected to another tanning salon robbery that same night. Provo officers say a man in a ski mask walked into the Waikiki Beach tanning salon after 9 p.m. last night. Witnesses say he fired a small caliber handgun, then demanded money. Officials say he then left on foot. The suspect is described as a Hispanic man about 5'6" tall with a medium build and tattoos on his arm. He was wearing black pants, a black long-sleeve shirt, and a black ski mask. Police believe he might be the same person who robbed Golden Globe Tanning in nearby Springville about an hour earlier.
Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Peter Cook is the candidate whose priorities are most in line with Utah voters, according to two surveys performed by the nonpartisan research organization Utah Foundation. As KCPW's Whitney Evans reports, the latest survey gauges the candidate's top 10 priorities and compares them with answers to the 2012 Utah Priority Survey, which lists the top issues and concerns of Utah voters for the upcoming election.
Morgan Lioncotti, research director at Utah Foundation, says voters listed jobs in the economy, education, and energy issues as their top priorities. However, there are a few issues some candidates highlighted, like states' rights and access to public lands, that didn't show up among voters' responses. Lioncotti says the top three issues of the nine candidates surveyed were well aligned with those of voters. But Peter Cook's priorities lined up the most, although he did not list immigration as a top issue like most voters did. Nor did he list gay rights, which the survey indicated is important to voters from his own Democratic Party. Governor Gary Herbert, who ranked nearly every issue as high priority, also lined up well with voters, except on issues like transportation and access to public lands, which most voters didn't feel were important. Political science student Robert Drinkall, who attended the forum at the University of Utah's Hinckley Institute of Politics, says he's most surprised that higher education was so far down the list of candidates' priorities, as well as immigration, considering it was a hot-button issue just last year. Utah Foundation President Steve Cruz says it's a challenge to connect candidates and voters in a way that reveals who the candidates really are.
Because, you know, as a candidate, sometimes you don't want to reveal yourself. Sometimes you want to speak in generalities and you want to be everything to everyone. And we're trying to make them not do that. And that's a challenge for them.
The gubernatorial candidate study will be released Friday. From KCPW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Whitney Evans for Utah Public Radio.
We turn next to the weather, and we have with us meteorologist for the Utah Climate Center, Ripley McCoy. Ripley, I believe there's a change coming. Is that true?
Yes, we have a slight change. A cold front pushed through the state today. It's currently stalled out, but it will resume its march later this evening and tonight. We'll have precipitation start to fall over parts of the state. I'll have details coming up.
That's in 10 minutes with Ripley McCoy from the Utah Climate Center. And for the 5:30 Utah News, I'm Tom Williams.
And I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. Thank you for joining us.